All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday. Yes, I said beautiful Saturday, May 25th, 2019. Pleased to have in studio the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Goldman. How are we doing, bud?
Finally, it's spring. I'm so cool.
I almost put on shorts this morning.
It was crazy. I mean, yes, definitely today is the coolest of the weekend, but the forecast for tomorrow and Memorial Day, as we honor the fallen that paid the ultimate sacrifice, should be beautiful weather. So it should be a good weather for golf.
It's nice for, and it's been a nice, like, at least a nice couple of days where it's been cool. It's not been, we haven't gone from winter to summer just yet.
No, and we're certainly glad that last week the PGA Championship at Bethpage went without a hitch, even though the weather was a little dicey, the forecast. So we're glad that the jewel of the Met section was in its glory, especially on Sunday when the wind picked up. The players finally got to see the teeth that is Bethpage Black.
Yep, it was a, as you said, kind of damp and rainy up until Wednesday night and into Thursday, but then once the tournament started, it was all dry, and Andrew Wilson and company had the golf course in pure shape, and it was quite the contest.
Everybody I talked to who was there said the course couldn't have been in absolute better shape, and you're right, considering all the rain that it took on, even right up until the championship, you can't say enough about the superintendent and the staff that worked there.
Tirelessly. All right, always my favorite part. What do you got in the news and notes section?
So
a little local flavor.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of local flavor, but we'll start with the PGA Tour. They're at the Charles Schwab Challenge. That's at Colonial Country Club. So some interesting features. We had three players in the top 10 that actually missed the cut this week. It's Xander Schauffele, Jon Rahm, and Ricky Fowler snapped a 21 consecutive cut streak by missing the cut. Unfortunately, one under the number. And we've had some very interesting sightings this week. We have a Cameron Champ sighting. He got in on the number. We have a Ben Crane sighting. Oh. And we have a Mike Weir sighting. All got in on the number. And we have a Nick Watney sighting. He's tied for fifth with Jason Duffner, who was the 2013 PGA champion at Oak Hill. And speaking of Oak Hill, the senior PGA championship is at Oak Hill this week in Rochester. Only four players have managed to stay under par in the entire field as they have played two rounds so far. And one of the players under par is the defending champion, Paul Broadhurst. He's tied for first with Esteban Toledo. They're both at three under. They have a two-shot lead over Retief Goosen and Scott Parel. And speaking of PGA championships, starting on Tuesday, the MasterCard Long Island PGA Championship, first contested in 1935, it's a match play event. It will be held at Huntington Crescent Club. And some interesting participants, especially in the opening round. Starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, we have defending champion Mike Meehan. He's from Old Westbury Golf and Country Club. He'll be playing Eric Ream from Harbor Links. We have Anthony Arruda teeing off at 12 o'clock. He was the 2017 and 2016 champ. He's from North Shore Country Club. He'll be playing against Louis DeCarillis from the Vineyards. Let's see, what else we have? We have 856, Darrell Kessler. You might have heard of him. He's been around for a while. So he's first won this championship 27 years ago. 1992 was the first time he won it. He's actually a four-time winner of this event, 2001, 2002, and in 2012. Of course, Darrell Kessler from Deepdale. He'll be playing his first round match against Sean Hand from Rockville Links Country Club. 904, friend of the show, Matt Dobbins from Meadowbrook Country Club. He'll be playing David Einstein from South Fork Country Club. 1008, Danny Balin from Fresh Meadow. He'll be playing against Jeff Warren from The Bridge. 1056, someone you know very well, Kirk Oguri from Pete's Golf Shop. He qualified for this event, so he'll be playing against Kyle Higgins from Inwood Country Club. At 1112, Jason Caron, friend of the show, he'll be he's from Mill River Club. He'll be playing against Mark Freddo, who's from Montauk Downs. And at 11:36, Dan Sposato from Mill River Club. He also qualified for this event. He'll be playing against Matt Noel from Huntington Country Club.
We should talk to Matt.
We should
talk to Dan.
We should get Dan on the show. It'd be interesting to talk to him because speaking of Dan, there's also another event that's going on. Very interesting. The Met PGA has a match play event where it's a four ball, where it's assistant-assistant four ball, which is very interesting. Alex Beach, who was the medalist at the PGA Professional Championship this time around, he and his partner, Nick Beto from Nassau Country Club, they won their first match, their first round match, 2-up against Nick Takano from Ardsley and James Lichtenberger from Colonial Springs. It's an interesting event. They basically schedule their matches on their own, but there's a deadline. Yesterday was actually the deadline to complete their first round match. And the ultimate championship will be at Shinnecock on October 3rd. So this is going to go on all summer.
Pretty good golf course.
Yeah, not bad. Not a bad place to hold a match play event either. And unfortunately, Dan Sposato, who had a great finish last year, he and his partner Steve Suarez from the Village Club of Sands Point, they lost their first round match in 20 holes to two players from Colonial Springs, Corey Haight and Lorenzo Abatiello.
Nice. That was a mouthful there.
Yeah.
But
I worked on that last night.
Well, speaking of Dan, we're going to talk to him shortly. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, he's Steve, and on the line is PGA professional, teaching professional at Mill River Club, Dan Sposato. Dan, how you doing, bud?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing great. I want to start with PGA Hope. I happened to notice that you did a little work at with PGA Hope at Crab Meadow. Must have been a very rewarding experience. How did you get involved in that, and what was it like?
So PGA Hope, I went a day last year as well. The PGA Hope program is, through the Met PGA Foundation, basically gets veterans, military veterans, into the game of golf. A lot of these ladies and gentlemen have, don't really play or have never played, or, you introduce them to the game of golf, and they grow through a 5 or 6 week program. And each week there's clinics at, in my case, I went to Crab Meadow Golf Course. I give clinics on putting, short game, full swing, and the idea is for them to graduate the program. And then and as we're doing this, the ladies and gentlemen that have gone through the program have who have graduated play a 9-hole league as we're doing this. So I got involved in it because Well, I wanted to find something I could do to volunteer, and that came up. And I grew up in Huntington area and playing Crab Meadow Golf Course. So I just really wanted to be a part of it, and I hope I can go to more classes with my schedule. Sometimes it's difficult to get away from the club, but it was definitely a rewarding experience, and I enjoy it, and hope to get out there again before the season's over.
Dan, what kind of feedback do you get from the participants of the event? Because obviously, going from serving in the military to playing golf, that's quite a change in lifestyle. So I'm curious as to how they view the experience.
I think they're pretty grateful that we come out and give some time to them. And there are some people there who are who are in Vietnam or served a long time ago that are just getting into the program, and then there's some younger people too that are just getting out of the out of service. So I feel like the feedback I've gotten is very positive. I think it gives them something positive to do in their life and get them out and be active. I think a lot of people don't have an outlet and to be active, especially as they get older. So I think that this is a great program for veterans to get back into the game if they've played. One gentleman I spent a lot of time with on Thursday hadn't played in 20 years, and he lives on a golf course in Florida in the winter. So he's figured it was time to get himself back out there. So I think that's the feedback I get, and they're definitely appreciative of us giving some time to them.
Dan, do you get a sense that a lot of times, unfortunately, those who have served have often felt forgotten? And one of the great things about this golf is the idea of the camaraderie and being connected to something bigger. Do you get a sense that they're grateful for the feeling connected to as they assimilate back into society, in certain some cases more recently than others? But the idea of the camaraderie and playing golf, do you feel that they have an appreciation for that?
I do. I think that's a very good point. I think it's a way of feeling, you know, of community again. And I think that's important in anybody's life, to feel that you're part of, you know, a big group and people who have each other's backs, if you will. And I certainly sense that with the people just in the 2 or 3 hours I spent on Thursday. You know, after we were done, everyone sat together, you know, had something to eat, and it's just, I think it's just a good positive atmosphere for everyone to be in.
Nothing better to take your mind off your troubles than play a game that frustrates the heck out of you.
Exactly right. Exactly.
But you know, I love that part at the end. It's nice that you guys sat down afterwards and sort of shared experiences, because that's also part of the game, even though you're not playing the game. But the idea of breaking bread together and sharing experiences and just talking about life in general is the other part of the game of golf that's not part of the game of golf, but is an important part of it, the experience.
100%. If you see, you know, I think that's why I always, you know, love this game, is that it brings pretty, it's you know, kind of a microcosm of life. You know, you play golf, you know, you get bad breaks, you get good breaks, some things happen that are lucky, but at the end of the day, when you're all done, it's a way for the people you've played with to go sit down and talk about it and how that translates into your life and your friendships and family and all that. So I would agree with you 100% that it's the whole experience was, you know, I remember last year I was able to go to one class and I was, you know, so I'm a little shy sometimes, so I was a little nervous, but it was definitely one of the best things I've ever done. And I was happy, and I feel even more strongly about that after Thursday, and I got to find a way where I can get back there at least one more time this year.
Any particular, I'm sure you've met all kinds of interesting people. Are there any particular participants that struck a chord with you, something that you felt particularly connected with?
I think that the biggest thing that strikes a chord with me is that most of the people who I've talked to, especially this past week, are local. So, and it kind of hits you that how many people around you and in your community have actually served. And, you know, it's maybe something I never really thought about too much, but I think there's probably more people around us that have served in the military and who have represented our country, and who are, you know, a lot braver than I am, let's put it that way. And I think that's pretty much resonated with me leaving there and saying, wow, there's about 40 or 50 people here, and most of them are, you know, live right in my backyard. I thought was a pretty powerful statement.
And it's not just the physical side, it's also the mental side too. I mean, you don't see the wounds that are suffering, and I guess giving them a different outlet, giving them something else to think about, how bad their swing is or how tough this putt is, to kind of, you know, alter their thinking a little bit so they're not completely thinking about their past experiences.
That's definitely true. You know, if you have any experience with you know, anxiety or depression or anything like that, and then I'm sure on their level, being what some of them have been through, you need a distraction, and you need a positive distraction. And I think golf can be a positive and healthy, you know, if you want to call it distraction or activity, whatever you will. But you can, when you're playing golf, you tend to not focus on anything else, because you have to be focused on your on what you're doing. And true for any activity, really. So I feel that golf can be an outlet for people who maybe are struggling with those types of feelings, to hopefully break out of it, or at least give them a temporary break on, you know, some of the anxieties they've been going through.
I think the one of the most important things that you said about it being a powerful experience for you is that I think that people should be aware of these things and participate in things like this, because I think we live in a world where it's very easily we can be self-absorbed and we lack a certain perspective in certain cases. So when you experience something like this and you see the look on people's faces and you know that they've seen some stuff, quote unquote, it's important that we all get a little dose of reality when we deal with some of our quote unquote first world problems that we encounter on a daily basis.
I think that's definitely true. And I think as I've gotten older and, you know, I have a, you know, a 1.5 year old now, it's definitely influenced me positively, you know, just speaking personally on the golf course, where I am not living and dying by every shot I hit. It's really not that important at the end of the day. And it really puts things in perspective, and sort of something like PGA Hope. You know, that there are so many stories about people going through that program and coming back and talking to the Met PGA at meetings and seeing how it basically saved their lives. I know James Eugene, who runs the PGA Junior League for the Met PGA, he's a graduate of the program, and he basically, you know, when he saw this job was open to be a liaison for the Met PGA, he basically told them not to hire anybody, and he wanted that job. So now you have someone who went through the program who now works for the Met PGA, and I think that those type of things are, you know, it just goes to show you how big this program is. They also have something called the Works program. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but a way for people that have graduated this program to be employed.
Yep.
local Met PGA clubs and golf courses. So it's doing more than just giving a, you know, 2-hour clinic for 5 weeks. It's really, you know, trying to create a family atmosphere and community. And I think it's you know, I'm really happy I'm a small part of it.
I think these some of these programs like PGA Hope and PGA Works, in some ways I think they're more important than the so-called quote-unquote Grow the Game initiatives. There are lots of things that, you know, ways we can sort of maintain the game, as I like to say, not necessarily worry about growing the game. But I think these programs particularly are just as important, if not more important. We're talking with Dan Sposato, one of the PGA professionals at Mill River Club. More with Dan after this short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Malvies Equipment Company is the oldest distributor of power equipment on Long Island and has been serving the community for over 100 years. We have two locations for your convenience in Riverhead and Hicksville. Malvies Equipment offers a diversified line of quality products for golf, sports, and turf, including Jacobson, Redexim Vertidrain, Smithco, and Turfco. We also carry Mahindra and New Holland tractors and construction equipment. Visit our website at malvisequipment.com or call us at 516-681-7600.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
And we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Steve. And on the line is PGA professional Dan Sposato from the Mill River Club. Dan, the other program that I want to talk about that you're affiliated with is the PGA Junior League. It's an interesting concept that's developed over the last couple of years, and this is your first foray into it. You know, how's the experience been for you?
It's been awesome, really. It's been a lot of fun. You know, we weren't really sure here how it would go, and so we created a program. We kind of piggybacked with Huntington Crescent Club and Huntington Country Club. For the last few years, they've been doing PGA Junior League and basically been doing just head-to-head matches every week. And so we joined in this year. So we have three clubs, We rotate. I think we're going to do 9 matches, and each club's going to host 3. And I was hoping I'd get 10 or 12 kids on the roster, and we have 21 kids on the team, which was almost double than what I was hoping. So it's great. It's a 13 and under team. We have ages 7 to 13 on the team, girls and boys. And you play in a twosome or threesome, and you play in a scramble format. So basically, we'll set the golf course up kind of short. I'll do 6 or 7 holes, and they will play scramble format. I think they play two 3-hole segments in their matches, and they try to win points for our team. So it's been great. I think 2 weeks ago, we hosted here at Mill River, and we had, 48 kids between the 3 clubs, and basically took over Mill River Club. It was awesome Saturday afternoon. So it's been a lot of fun.
And, of course, the key is also participation. So the idea of trying to sort of substitute shuttle kids in so that as many kids have a chance to play in a meaningful match.
Yes. And, the way we do it is everyone's playing when it comes to, the league. So if that means we have to do a foursome against a foursome, that's what we'll do. But we don't want anyone not to play. And the parents get out there, and it's a great I think it's just the feedback I've gotten from our parents has been excellent. I know one of the dads wants me to order dad jackets for everybody. So it's definitely been a success here, and I'm very happy we went ahead and did it.
Well, because that's also a very interesting aspect, because the kids have like matching T-shirts, so it's really, you really feel like you have a team. You're wearing uniform, so there's almost that immediate support level that the kids have for one another being on the same team.
Definitely. At the PGA Championship last week, I know at least 3 of our kids were out there, and they were all wearing their PGA Junior League uniform and their hats and everything. And I thought that was, pretty neat running into them out there and seeing it and high-fiving and just feeling like we are a team. And that's, something I've always wanted to do is, be a coach one day of something. And this is as close as I've ever been. So it's definitely a lot of fun. Our kids are awesome. And I would encourage anyone that hasn't done it, or if you have kids that you want to get them into the game of golf, this is a really good program to do it. It has, it's low stress. It's designed to have fun and definitely look into it.
You just mentioned it, part of what I wanted to ask you, and that is what's been the effect been on you personally as a teacher, as now in this new capacity as a coach? How has it pushed you to be a better teacher and steward of the game?
It's probably taught me some ways on how to keep kids engaged in what we're doing longer. When I've given clinics, and anyone who has small kids know that the attention span levels sometimes last about 12 seconds. So I found that in this format.
I know some adults with that kind of short.
I'm one of them, to be honest. But for sure. But definitely, like in this format, I found that we do practices. We'll do 1-hour practices, and I kind of switch it up every week. And then for the tournament days, they'll play 6 holes. They'll play for 2 hours, and then when they're done, they want to keep going. So something about being in that team environment and playing a scramble with their parents out there has kept the kids really focused. So I think the more you can get kids on the golf course actually playing golf instead of just pounding balls on the range or just putting for an hour, I think you find that the attention span and how they're engaged, how they focus is definitely improved. So I think I've definitely learned that from watching this.
Our guest is assistant professional for Mill River Club, Dan Sposato, who is the captain of a PGA Junior League team. So that's also one thing I wanted to mention. It's not just playing, it's also learning. There is instruction time as well as playing time, so the kids are kind of getting both ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely. So I'm doing 1 practice a week. So I think we're doing 20 experiences, we'll call it. We'll say there's 11 practices and 9 matches. So every Wednesday night, 4:30 to 5:30, the kids come. Sometimes we'll bring them on the course, and we'll do a simulated game. Sometimes we've done short game, we've done the range, and all different things to help their skill levels get better, and most importantly, have fun, especially the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. I kind of have a young team compared to the other clubs. It's good to just have them having fun. And if they have fun and they practice, they're going to get better. So it's definitely important to keep them engaged and try to hone on their skills as well instead of just having games. You have to have practices and organized time for that as well.
Especially if they want to practice, because once they give you that idea, then you know you have them hooked.
Definitely. I mean, we have 21 kids on the team, and I think 2 weeks ago, 18 kids showed up to practice. So,
wow.
Yeah. So basically, the only reason why, you know, I have a kid on my team who's a hockey player, and his mom came and told me, you know, he got injured. He can't play this weekend, and he was more upset about missing golf than he is about hockey. So, that means something is, we're doing something right here, that they're upset that they're not going to be able to participate. So.
Do you find now that you're found this new capacity in working with kids, and as opposed to your typical standard lessons, are you constantly collaborating with other people to find inspiration on how to keeping kids engaged for extended amount of times? Is not an easy thing. Being a teacher of any sort is not an easy thing, not easier than what people make it out to be. How do you stay ahead of the curve when dealing with these kids?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if you can ever stay ahead of kids. They always have a way to new things every year. But for sure, I'm very friendly with people who teach children of this age, and I definitely try to bounce ideas off of them. Some of my friends that are teachers, mm-hmm. and ask them for activities that they do to help them keep everyone when engaged as well. And also, just as I've done this for a while, and as I've and have some experience, as I told you before, trying to get them playing golf as much as we can or using technology. I find that if you're using technology like TrackMan or you know, Blast Motion with putting, things that they can see results from on like an iPad, and then they just go crazy for that. So I think those are the couple of things that we've done to keep them engaged and more focused, if you will.
Well, we've only got a minute or so left, and we've talked about your involvement in PGA Hope and PGA Junior League. How's your game at the moment, and what are you looking forward to this season?
Well, my game so far has been okay, I'd say. I'm probably hitting the ball well and trying to be a little bit better at getting it into the hole. I know you mentioned the match play event, the MasterCard Long Island PGA is this week. That's one of my favorite events. I kind of feel like it gives everybody a chance, because when you're playing, you only have to beat one person. You don't have to beat an entire field. So very much looking forward to that at Huntington Crescent Club. That's the my first job ever was I was a caddy at the Crescent Club when I was about 13 years old, so it's always good going back there, and I always look forward to that event coming up this week, and the Long Island Open in a couple weeks. Those two events are special to me, since being Long Island events and living here my whole life, and definitely excited about those two, and then we'll see where the rest of the season takes me after that.
Could we see Dan Sposato and Jason Caron on a collision course?
yeah, we did mention that, but hopefully... You know, we have to get through the first two rounds first before that happens.
Yeah, and never look ahead, right?
Just no, play, you just can't play look
the
ahead.
Play one the match. Shot, one shot at a time.
Play the match in front of you.
Play the match in front of you. We've played enough here in the last few years to know each other's games. And right now, he's obviously playing unbelievable, and the club was really excited seeing him, as was all, you know, myself and the staff, to see him play so well at Bethpage. So.
I mean, for him to open with a round of 70 was just, I mean, off the charts.
Off the charts. I mean, he's hitting high, you know, taking a head cover off for his second shot on almost every hole, he told me, and to play that well was great. And Friday, I mean, he didn't play poorly, but if, you know, you missed the fairway by three inches, you're going to pay the price over there. So.
Yeah. Well, Dan, we're just about up against it, but thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate all that you do in giving back, and good luck the rest of the season.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right, that was Dan Sposato, Mill River Club. That's it for this week, folks. Thank you to Trevor behind the glass, Steve across the table. Have a great week, everyone. Seem like the
views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The following show